Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
Chatting with Christy Flynn, economist at PwC. Christy, appreciate the time today. GDP data from Stats SA yesterday. Depressing numbers. I mean, however we rub it, an increase of 0.6% in 2024. Yes, we avoided a technical recession, but as a South African citizen, it hardly feels like it, is the honest truth.
Well, yes, if you want to go with technical definitions, we didn't hit a recession. But if we think about it this way, economic growth was again below population growth.
At
a per capita level, that was a recession. Same with last year, same with quite a few years in the past decade. So, yeah, I mean, we can get optimistic on the technicalities, but economic growth is really not great.
And that's the key point. We all are a little bit poorer because our population grows faster. What really struck me is that government agencies are looking for a 0.8 to 0.9. I mean, this is even lower than the government, who we can often sometimes say are maybe a little pessimistic. But it does show the crisis we're in. It shows the challenge of the budget next week.
Yes, indeed. I mean, these forecasts that we do on economic growth that are based on the most recent numbers also, those determine a lot of things, and very specifically, how much tax we think we're going to collect.
Mm.
And that gets us into that conversation of VAT. Now, we know when the budget speech did not happen last month, it was over an issue about lifting VAT. We know Cabinet has been working on that. And, you know, some of the stories are telling us we're not going to see VAT increase to 17%. Maybe it's less than that. So all of this feeds into a situation where we as South Africans, at a per capita level, our GDP is declining. That means that there's actually less VAT going around, and that's why, or less tax going around, that's why VAT needs to be increased. It's not a great situation for us as consumers. It's certainly not great for businesses that are dependent on consumer spending. So as you say, we can be a bit positive about not being in a recession, but are we really much better off than being in a recession?
I take your point. I think all the listeners out there would concur and say probably no. And the secret to GDP is that if we had as we did way back some 20 years ago, if we were doing, 3, 4, 5, 5.5%, we're growing per capita, so as individuals we're richer. The government gets more tax, and I remember tax cuts from Trevor Manuel as finance minister. GDP really is the secret ingredient, or in this case, it's kind of like the foot or the weight on the economy and keeping it all down.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's a bit of a numb piece of data when it comes to the welfare of people, but it has such a big impact on the welfare of people. If we were still seeing economic growth of 3, 4, 5%, we would actually be seeing unemployment declining, because the amount of jobs being created would be more than the amount of people getting added to the labor force. You mentioned tax cuts. The last time we had a fiscal surplus was in 2008, so the end of Trevor Manuel as the finance minister. Since then, we've had massive deficits, and that's resulted in a huge amount of debt, and more money is going to paying off this debt instead of money going towards building hospitals and schools and bridges and that kind of thing. So the part of the elixir for our situation on the fiscal side is just faster economic growth.
I was going to say it's as simple as that. Of course, it's not always quite that simple. If I dig into some of the details, we'd had a horror Q3 for agriculture. If my memory serves, it was -28.8. It got revised up a whole bit. Did agriculture sort of come back to the party in Q4, or is it still really under pressure?
Look, it was still under pressure. If you look at the agriculture numbers, and let's say we look at year-on-year growth, for example, it was positive. But still, third quarter, year-on-year declined by 20%. Now, it is a seasonal industry, very seasonal, and we had drought situation. And to be honest, it is a smaller component of the economy. It came to light because when the Q3 data came out, the agriculture data looked really bad, and the industry and organized agriculture engaged with government and Stats SA to look at this more closely to improve the data going forward. So there was some revision to that. So the agriculture numbers look less bad, but still very bad in principle, mostly because of weather-related factors. And we can probably discuss climate change as well. But the thing is, in South Africa, agriculture is the starting point of so many supply chains.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't mine it, you grow it. And food is the starting point. It's got a massive job multiplier. Agriculture and agro-processing is one of the most impactful In terms of job creation, if you were to invest R1 million or 10 million or 100 million. So it's one of those industries that we actually need to try and cultivate, if you would allow the wordplay. We need to cultivate agriculture much more robustly because that's the way for us to create more jobs.
The other really important sector is construction. You mentioned building things a moment ago. Construction still below the pre-pandemic levels, and fixed capital formation also very, very weak. And again, this is how you grow an economy. You need to build the things that are going to sustain the economy, and we're just not doing that.
Exactly. And it's both from a public and a private sector where we've got challenges here. So from the public sector, when fiscal money is constrained, very often you take away from infrastructure investment and you pay towards the more important month-to-month payments, goods and services, staff, etc., etc. So public investment in fixed infrastructure is under pressure. On the private side, very understandably, many private sector companies have been waiting. They were waiting for the elections to be done. They were waiting to see what the new government is doing, waiting before they put money in. And a lot of the economic growth forecasts for this year are very optimistic because of expectations that fixed investment will grow. But let's be very honest. We still need to see a lot happen in terms of change under this new government.
Yeah.
On the ground, business confidence has improved, yes, when you look at the survey numbers, but it's not massively positive. There's still a lot that needs to be done beyond load shedding, which has almost disappeared. We've got massive challenges with water, transport, all of those things. So to be honest, and understandably, big business is looking for that signal from government that things are actually going to be better 5 years down the line, but we still need that proof before we can get enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, and the novice economists such as myself would look at the load shedding and look at a functioning government with national unity. Yes, the GNU's prickly, but it's working. Prickly's is probably a feature, not a bug. And really have expected a much stronger number in the last quarter, last half of the year, going into this year. But to your point, it's about confidence. I'm not going to build a building that's going to be around for decades unless I think to myself, I'm going to be here for decades, never mind the next 2 to 3 years. That is perhaps as big a key.
That's true. So a lot of people were thinking, okay, by the time we get to the fourth quarter of last year, economic growth should look better. But let's be honest, big decisions when it comes to investments and spending, they don't happen quickly. It's not done quickly around the corner and then massively a bunch of factories are built, a bunch of roads are built. We still have the same number of potholes that we did 6 months ago. That hasn't changed, for example. So big business by its nature needs to be risk-taking, but that risk needs to be with caution. And at the moment, deciding to put money down into fixed investment, you need to know that this government is going to be stable enough to last the next 5 years. You need to be sure that the key policies are going to be there. And we're not even talking about the international factors. We're not talking about the Middle East, Europe, Trump, etc., etc. Those are also elements that we're not even taking into account in these GDP numbers because this happened before everything that occurred the past 2 months. So it's understandable that business is still cautious.
Yeah, and that's a great point. There's a whole lot else happening beyond our borders, which we haven't even got to yet, but we'll leave it there. That is Christopher Lynn, economist, PwC. Always appreciate the time.
Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.